Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another segment of Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. This is the channel where women from all walks of life can stop by, get tools and resources to help them thrive 360 in mind, body, spirit, and finances. I invite you to stay connected, subscribe to this channel, and visit me online at thecindyrand.com. Now for today's segment. Hello, beautiful people. This is Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. So super excited, as usual, to be here. And so we've got a wonderful guest. We've got some information that we're going to give you that everybody needs, including myself. But in the meantime, let's do a little housekeeping. First of all, today's session or podcast episode is being brought to you by Leap to End Homelessness Run Walk Jog. This is a half marathon, 10K, 5K, and kitty run, and it's being hosted by A Grateful Mind International. It'll be held Sunday, November 17th at Triple Mill Park in Gwinnett County, Georgia. That's Lawrenceville. And actually, they've got a virtual option this time. So anybody from around the globe that wants support, again, that's the Leap to End Homelessness Run, Walk, Jog. I need some more coffee. And that is it. Today, we have with us Allison. Now, you know, Allison, I told you I will butcher a name. Yeah. Allison Yamamoto. Allison is a beautiful person that was an NCAA cheerleader at UC Berkeley before running half and full marathons. Isn't it ironic that I was just saying one Ross? It's funny.
For sure.
She loves talking about her personal experiences, which impact the majority of active women. And if we're still breathing, we're still active, okay? She's gonna talk to us today about navigating exercise and nutrition and how to basically keep it, I would say, at a healthy level, keeping healthy boundaries and mindsets about eating, nutrition, and being an active woman in today's society. I'm going to turn it over to Allison. How are you, Allison?
Hey, I'm so great. I'm very excited to have this conversation. And yeah, it wasn't very much coincidence that when you're bringing up the 5K, 10K, I was like, oh, there's definitely a runner theme going on.
Yeah, that is awesome. You know, I always say everything starts with cause and effect. So first of all, I want you to give us a little history. Let us, you know, be able to picture what brought you to this pivotal moment of really wanting to help active women with nutrition, wellness, and exercise.
Yeah. So you alluded to a little bit there, but I'll add that I grew up in a very active family. And so I've always been really interested and cared about my health. And I ended up being an athlete in college. And then when I graduated, was figuring out ways to navigate my own exercise, my fitness, when I didn't have as much structure. And so I ended up getting very much into running. And during that time was also very interested in nutrition. And so I sought out a lot of information and really worked hard to try to do the right things when it came to my nutrition, because I cared a lot about my health. And it got to the place where I was also working at a pretty intense or like high stress, high achievement oriented type job. And during that entire time, I didn't really realize how there was an interplay going on between how I was navigating my nutrition and my exercise, and also how I was navigating other factors in my life, like stress or the other things that I really cared about, and weight or, you know, body standards, et cetera. And I ended up getting to a period of time where I had a lot of like menstrual disturbances, and I lost my period for a little while and was told by a lot of healthcare doctors or clinicians that it was either normal because I exercised a lot, or that it wasn't a really big deal because at the time I wasn't really trying to have a period for the sake of fertility or reproduction. And then only to later realize that there are actually a lot of health risks that are affiliated with the type of issue that I was experiencing. And it's actually really common in a lot of women because of how prevalent dieting is amongst women, especially, and how we don't always understand that some of those things can be impacting us in negative ways, and that there are actually health risks to getting into a state where, and we can go into this, but essentially where what I was experiencing, which was low energy availability, that was fairly chronic, and that was causing menstrual disturbances that ended up causing a lot of other health risks, like propensity for injuries, or actually impacting my ability to improve my fitness. And that in some ways it was actually also contributing to my burnout at the time. And so I didn't really realize how interconnected a lot of these things were and dismissed my own experience around some of these issues for a long time before realizing that it was something that I should really try to think about more deeply and correct, which is really what, to your point, inspired me to really focus now on the work that I do in helping other active women who could be making similar mistakes, knowingly or not, in ways that could be impacting their health or even their overall life in ways that they may not fully understand where they're at right now.
Wow, that is interesting. That is really interesting. So tell us, what is your take on crash diets?
Crash diet. So do you mind clarifying exactly what you have
You
in
know
mind?
what a crash diet is. Those quick diets that people get
Oh,
onto
yeah.
to lower their carbs so they can get in a dress, or they're going on a trip. So, oh, I'm going to starve for 7 days so that I can be able to, basically get into this outfit and look good in my swimsuit, which, it's going to take more than 7 days. It is a process. Everything's a process. But psychologically, there are some people, who really live by these crash diets, thinking that if they cut out quickly, they'll lose weight, or I'm not going to drink any water. The body is like 75% of water. I'm not going to drink any water for like 10 days, and then I'm going to lose weight. What is your take on these crash diets? I mean, besides the fact that it's not healthy,
Besides
besides
that,
the fact that it's temporary.
yeah, I think it's really interesting because it really shows a lot about how much pressure we face, especially as women, about how we need to look or how we need to experience and our own like aesthetic, especially around certain events. And so I think that something like that is usually something that women are trying to achieve for a specific event and they want to achieve a certain type of appearance. And I think that that type of pressure is something that can impact women really often, whether it's through crash dieting or through chronic dieting or somehow exhibiting a lot of control over their food. And that can lead to a lot of the mistakes that women make that they don't realize are impacting their energy availability or their overall health. And I think that one of the dangers with something like a crash diet is how, because of how extreme a lot of those things are, is the like the vulnerability that you create about either like one of two things come to mind. So one would be over anchoring on like the aesthetic goal that may be very, to your point, like temporary. It might be like a very point in time situation. And then the other aspect of it, which is that the scarcity mindset that we're creating in this very chronic state for that period of time where we're going into that deficiency can also make us much more vulnerable to the other end of the spectrum once we get to that event or once we get to that overall achievement that we're trying to get to. Whether we get there or not through the effectiveness of the crash diet is like kind of a whole nother, questionable conversation that we could be having. But that type of restriction that we can go under will create not only like psychological, but even physiological mechanisms that can be really, really hard to fight against. And so I think that sometimes we don't think about the holistic impact of the actions that we're taking when we're really short-sighted towards a specific aesthetic goal and really stepping back and questioning, well, how am I balancing this goal with other goals that I have in my life? Whether it's like, am I really seeking confidence in my body or am I seeking the specific dress size? Am I seeking health and longevity? And how am I weighing that against some of these more short-term and near-term pressures or goals that I have within my body or my weight? And I think that the crash diets are a really good example of not only the pressure that we're facing, but also how we may be misweighing some of the short-term goals that we have against some of the longer-term or more holistic consequences that could be a result of doing something like a temporary fix for hoping that we feel better about our bodies at this very specific event that's coming up. But it's also like really relatable because I think there is a lot of pressure, and a lot of women do want to achieve happiness or confidence or whatever it is through our bodies and through how we believe that other people are expecting our bodies to look or perform or whatever it is that we have around the expectations with our body standards.
It goes back to, what you hear a lot now about comparisons. I'm just of the belief that we were all uniquely made, fearfully and wonderfully made in our own ways. Just like there's no cookie cutters for a lot of issues and problems, I don't really feel like there's a cookie cutter when it comes down to a person's individual body, that individual's body's needs. You can have some things that are kind of cursory that can apply to most. Just like, you hear from childhood to eat your veggies, eat your veggies and eat more veggies and eat more veggies. Nonetheless, some people don't like vegetables, or some people don't like, salads versus cooked vegetables. Different people have different ways that they approach things. But I think one of the primary things, to your point, is basically kind of accepting who you are and working with what you have, working with what you have, not looking to say, well, this is a quick fix, quick crash diet. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that so that I can look good for the moment. I think it is mental and physical at the same time, because there has to become a point where it's like, okay, this is who I am, and this is just who I am. I have to be okay with that, accept it or not. When it comes down to that weight management, I feel like it should be a personal goal for that person to be at their happy weight or their happy size. Not in comparison or saying, I want to look good in this outfit for this day, or I want to be able to look good because we're going here, and I don't want so and so to look better in her dress for the bride, asking the bride what the bridesmaid, as I am. So there are different reasons behind it. Give us your take on, I would say, not so much as like the culture behind, dieting now, but how do you become burnout? Is there a burnout level of that back and forward with, diet, exercise, nutrition? I mean, like a point of obsession where you're not making healthy choices any longer.
This question is so interesting because I think that one of the risks that we fall into is conflating, because I love that you brought you introduced you you know mentioned the point of individuality, and I think that a lot of the times we conflate, and dieting, especially in diet recommendations, conflate nutrition advice with weight loss advice. And because a lot of times with women, our goal is always lose weight, be leaner, because that's what we feel like we should be doing. And the unfortunate thing is that it falls into patterns where we are perpetuating a state that our body is interpreting as a pretty high stress state that could be contributing to burnout. And a perfect example of this would be, and you alluded to this earlier as well, which is just taking on super low carb. And believing, we're just going to cut all carbs and demonize carbs and really avoid them at all cost. And what I think is really interesting, and this is true to folks that are active, and I loved what you said, because active people really are anyone who's exercising at it's not necessarily means that you're an elite athlete. It could be whatever it is that you're doing to
Day-to-day
participate.
life.
Exactly. Everyday life. We underestimate like how much goes into caretaking our children or, running around to various meetings that we have throughout the day.
Yes, the
So
busy
like
woman.
the
All
bit,
forms chase
exactly.
the sinus.
Yeah. To
All
like,
forms chase the
exactly.
sinus.
And a lot of times what that can result in is really seeing women under eating how much that they need in carbs. And this is like particularly true for folks that are following like diet trends that are really demonizing carbs and not realizing that that can actually put us in a state where we do experience low energy availability. And when that becomes chronic, it can like physiologically put us in a state where we do have higher cortisol levels, or even impact us like anecdotally through more brain fog. We're really reaching for
Absolutely.
coffee in the afternoon because our energy is dipping heavily. It could even be disturbing our sleep, which is further contributing to burnout. And so absolutely there are ways where we underestimate, and that's just one diet trend amongst many, where we don't realize that in some situations either the research wasn't even done including women, or we just underestimate how much those types of recommendations could be impacting our health and experience more holistically. And in many cases, it's not always contributing to the goals that we have because of how it either could lead us to, backlash in a certain way, because our body is like constantly then fixated on food or constantly fixated on these cravings that we have because it's seeking that energy that we really, really need for like brain functioning, for our basic, metabolic needs, and for our busy lives, of course. And so that's an example of an area where it is worthwhile to consider how our nutrition plays a role in our burnout and how we're experiencing the world more broadly. And then in the more severe cases, even contributing to like physiological symptoms like indigestion or, menstrual dysfunction or even like infertility. And there's such a cascade of how our body will react when it believes that it has to be in a state of survival, essentially.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. What does it mean to be disciplined to exercise? What does that really mean?
Oh my gosh, I love this question because I think that there's so much pressure that exists and like messaging that essentially is like more is always better when it comes to exercise. 100% of the time, you need to be doing more. And if you feel like not doing it, then the answer is to do it anyways. And I think that in more extreme cases, what this can lead to is people feeling guilty around exercise or even potentially overtraining in some instances, which essentially is a situation where you aren't providing your body with enough rest and recovery to be able to match the training loads that you're trying to achieve through exercise. And this could even be in situations due to, lack of awareness about what is effective when it comes to programming for exercise because of the messaging and the pressure around more is always better. And so oftentimes we think, oh, well, we're really disciplined because that looks like a very specific thing, which is you're exercising every single day, you're exercising at high intensity every single day, and therefore we praise when we see somebody who is quote unquote disciplined, which would be them hitting the gym every single day. And what we often don't talk about is that rest and recovery does play a role in discipline when it comes to exercise, and that there's a difference between being disciplined with exercise and exerting discipline and exercising because it's a compulsion or because you would feel guilty or anxious if you didn't do it, or because you feel like there's an obligation to do what you're doing in order to feel okay about either yourself or your productivity or whatever else it is. And I think that a lot of times it's hard to see between those things when it comes to exercise for people. But it's another situation where it's hard to see when, or it could be contributing to burnout in certain ways. And I'm the first person to say, as you mentioned, like I've run marathons, like I'm a runner, I still exercise frequently, but I did get to a place where I would be pretty anxious if I had to take meaningful time off of exercise. And I didn't have enough flexibility that I was able to make compromises in terms of my exercise schedule to be able to accommodate other things within my life. So whether that was like, hey, I didn't sleep very well, maybe today is not the best day for me to adhere to my exercise routine at all costs. And I think that that's what I thought discipline was. It was like, no matter what, you're waking up and you said you were going to do this thing, you're going to do this thing. And it just didn't leave enough room for there to be reactive responsiveness or accommodation for other things in my life, whether it was other health situations that were going on, like, oh, I'm actually feeling some pains, or maybe I'm feeling a little bit sick, all the way through to, hey, it's okay to switch up how you're going to work out because you're traveling, or because you have family in town, or because it's a really, really stressful week. And deciding to start your 12-hour workday with waking up and getting only 4 hours of sleep in order to accommodate the exercise doesn't have to be the only decision that you can make. So I think it's really interesting to see how the constant messaging around more is always better with exercise can potentially lead to folks getting into a state where they are susceptible to overtraining.
You hear about that in passing, but not in detail, like you're explaining. You hear about it in passing, but not in detail. Allison, what would you tell a woman who says, I feel guilty when I don't exercise? I've got all of, the kids, the family, my life, my career. I feel guilty when I don't exercise. I feel like I'm cheating my body. What would you tell that woman?
Yeah. And I think that there's a few different flavors of this. So I'll say a couple of different things because I think there's one flavor of this where that person is not exercising at all. And then their guilt is coming from this place where they feel like it's something that they should be doing and they're not doing it. And I think that at a very high level, the experience of guilt around food and exercise is really interesting because guilt is an emotion that we experience when we've done something wrong, like when we truly have done something that we need to like atone for. And I think that it's interesting how often, especially for a woman, there's this experience of guilt because we ate something or because we exercised in a certain way. And it's interesting because I think that I loved this quote that I saw where guilt is something that is experienced when you do something wrong and not something that should be experienced around food or around exercise. And so that like notion of morality when it comes to having not enough time to exercise just goes to show that there's like that's so much pressure that is not necessarily serving us in a way that it could be. And I think that for a woman who is maybe not exercising enough and feeling that that guilt around having not exercised enough, that there's maybe an opportunity to reflect on what role she would like exercise to play in her life and how could she move closer to what would be serving her and serving her needs when it comes to exercise and being able to navigate that in a way that is allowing for forgiveness when it doesn't go exactly to the way that she might have planned or the standards that she held for herself, but also allowing for her to make and prioritize exercise where she feels like she might not be. Then I think this is the other end of the spectrum, which is one that I find really frequent with the woman that I work with, which is feeling guilt because you're taking 1 or 2 days off of exercise, or maybe even feeling guilt because you're doing an exercise that's lower intensity than what you feel like you did, or because you actually did a workout, but it wasn't to the standards that you thought it should be because it wasn't fast enough, heavy enough, long enough, hard enough, or you didn't feel a certain way. And I think that this is one where it really reveals the standards that we can set for ourselves. And I see this really frequently in perfectionists who are the overachievers. They're setting crazy high standards for themselves, always experiencing this feeling of like not being enough. And when it comes up in exercise, that guilt around taking that rest day or the anxiety that would come with taking that one day off or feeling lazy or feeling unproductive because of that one or those couple days off from exercise, that in those cases, I think it's really about digging into what is underneath the surface, which is how are we either showing up for ourselves and what is driving that anxiety and that guilt that you're experiencing around exercise. And I actually do have a resource that I'm happy to provide for free to your listeners if they're interested that can help to start to identify. It's a checklist that can help you identify those drivers when it comes to some of those really rigid behaviors around exercise and around nutrition to help unlock what it really is under the surface that can start to result in some of those changes, especially if you're in a state where it's like, honestly, I feel like my exercise routine at this point is burning me out. I wish I could just take some rest. I wish that, my body is screaming for me to be able to get more flexibility or more spontaneity or more freedom in my routines. And I find that to be really relatable. And I think it's something that I feel really strongly about, which is that especially for a woman, how we're relating to food, how we're relating to exercise does require looking at what's beneath the surface. And
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that we all have like our own very specific relationship to food, relationship to exercise that is heavily impacting the decisions we're making and the behaviors that we're taking on in those areas.
And I would say, definitely gotta be respectful of your time. I would say one of the key takeaways from what you've said to us today is not to be too hard on yourself. Not to be too hard on yourself. A lot of times, and I tell people a lot, I said, I'm my own worst critic. They don't believe that, but it's like you have no idea. I am my own worst critic, and there are certain things that I like a certain way. Nonetheless, sometimes you have to not settle, but just decide, am I going to argue with myself over this not being the way I want it to be? Or am I going to chip at it little by little by little until it conforms? Prime example, like gray hairs, you beat them down into submission. You have to get things to conform to your life more so than you conforming it to it each time. So I appreciate this so much. I have enjoyed this conversation. This has been awesome. So if you want to get in contact with Allison, she's got some free resources. We're definitely going to put that down in the description so that you can find that and reach out to her at theallymethod.com. And that is all for today. I thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll see you next time. All right, welcome.
Thank you again for tuning in to Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. Follow me on social media at Busy Woman's Cheerleader. Remember, together we write our stories, share our journeys, create memories, and leave our marks in history. Until next time, peace, blessings, and joy be multiplied to you. Ta-ta.